In his latest review, Jacob Bickerstaff travels back to 1960 to highlight a film classic based on H.G. Wells' The Time Machine.
Time travel is certainly a popular trope in stories and films, particularly science fiction. Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court is a well-known early example, with several film and TV adaptations. I'm of the right age to have watched both Quantum Leap and Voyagers in the 1980s on television. For this review, though, I'll go back to a classic science fiction film based on a novel by one of the original sci-fi writers, H.G. Wells. This is, of course, The Time Machine, which is a nifty New Year's connection that I'll go into below. This film opens on January 5th, 1900, when a London scientist and inventor has invited four friends for dinner. The host, H. George Wells, is that name a little familiar, is late coming to the table, but suddenly appears in torn and soiled clothes and tells a fantastic tale. George reminds his guests of their last visit to his home on December 31st, 1899. On New Year's Eve, he showed them a small device, claiming it was a machine that could move through time.
Why is it that we usually ignore the fourth dimension? You see, we can move in the other three. As the doctor said, up, down, forwards, backwards, sideways. But when it comes to time, we are prisoners.
His companions did not believe that this travel in the fourth dimension was possible, even after seeing the device disappear from the room. We later learn that George built a full-size version of the machine, and his story on the night of January 5 reveals what happened when he tried it out. When George begins his travel forward in time, he first makes relatively small jumps, just a few minutes, then a few hours, then a few days. The film shows the rapid passage of time through stop-motion animations of flowers opening and closing, the sun tracking through the sky, and clothing on a mannequin changing with the seasons. A glaring error in basic Earth science shows up in one of his early jumps. After the sun arcs from left to right across the sky, darkness falls, and the stars rotate counterclockwise rather than clockwise. It's as if the Earth's rotation changed direction when the change from day to night. George makes three significant stops in the 20th century, one in 1917 near the end of World War I, and the second in 1940 during World War II. He initially thinks that it's the same war that's been going on for more than 20 years. He then moves forward to 1966 and is caught in a nuclear war.
Every moment is a year, hurtling through the atomic wars of the future on an incredible excursion into the unknown.
In another scientifically questionable sequence, the atomic bombs cause a volcanic eruption in central London, which covers George and the time machine in a thick layer of rock. This is fanciful for a few reasons. First, no volcanoes near London have been active in the last 10 million years. Second, no human activity, even a nuclear war, could displace enough rock to cause a spontaneous magma eruption. Finally, the lava we see in the movie is characteristic of Hawaii's volcanoes, not of European volcanoes like Pompeii or Vesuvius. After being buried in the unlikely lava, George has to wait for erosion to release him from his rocky prison. That means jumping all the way to the year 802,701, or more than 8,000 centuries into the future. George finds a world transformed. The location of his former home is now a lush forest, where large fruits hang from the trees. He finds a quiet, playful group of apparently adult people lounging by a nearby river. George is surprised by their failure to act to save one of their number who falls in the river, but is not shocked by their ability to speak English that he can understand. George befriends Weena, one of this group, and learns that they call themselves Eloi, and that there are other creatures who live underground called Morlocks. We learn later that both are descended from humans of the 20th century. The Morlocks moved underground to escape nuclear wars, and have since evolved to have blue-green skin, fangs, and extreme sensitivity to light.
The Morlocks, fiendish creatures who live in a weird underground world, and the Eloi, the tranquil sunshine people, who the Morlocks dominate and maintain like cattle, luring them below with the hypnotic wail of the sirens, to feed upon them in cannibalistic
horror. AD millennia is enough time for substantial evolution and change to take place in a population. Homo sapiens diverged from Neanderthals about 500,000 years ago, so this is a time span longer than modern humans have existed. It's also enough time for some significant climate change to take place. Given this real science, I can almost accept that humans evolved into Morlocks and Eloi. I can also almost buy that the igneous rock surrounding George would have eroded away. But now let's consider the language problem. Most of us would have a hard time understanding someone speaking English of 1014. To check me on this, listen to a few recordings of Old and Middle English on a website called thehistoryofenglish.com. The link is available in the online version of this review. After 8,000 centuries, there's no way George and the Eloi could speak the same language. Aside from noting the bizarre behavior of the stars and errors of geology, what could science teachers gain from showing clips from the time machine? Well, teachers with an interest in the history of science might like to note how similar George is to real folks like Hertz, Faraday, and Maxwell. The lone scientist working in his laboratory on a problem, then performing a public demonstration, was common in the 18th and 19th centuries. Public science lectures and demonstrations were a major function of the Royal Society, and introduced the public to many electrical phenomena. Also, the spinning disc in the back of the time machine in the film reminds me of a Wilmshurst generator. Electrical demonstrations we take for granted today were sensational in the 19th century. Earth science teachers might also use the errors in the time machine as a way to convey just how hard it is to understand big numbers and very long periods of time.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
And what happens when boy meets girl thousands of years hence?
How do they wear their hair?
Who?
The women of your time.
Up like that.
Show me.